Last Thursday we talked about the need for Christian love. This morning we'll talk about sanctification, not sexual sins. Let's begin by reading verse number 1. Furthermore then, we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, abound more and more. He's talking about the brethren there at Thessalonica. This is the first letter that's been written in the New Testament. And he's exhorting them as he's received how he ought to walk. And that walk is a continuous walk. It's a present tense, continuous action. And walking, and then to please God, so the present tense. And this walking with God, not in sexual immorality as he pushes down. Apparently this church is filled with unrighteousness and unholiness and sexual immorality of all different kinds. He's got purification, not sexual sin. Walking with God in Romans 6 and verse 4, for example. So we also, after we're saved, should walk in newness of life. Not with the old life, not with the Gentile, heathen, wicked people. In Romans 8, 1, we know that one. Let's say that. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And then in Romans 13, 13, let us walk honestly, as in the day. In 1 Corinthians 3, in verse 3, these people that are fleshly, Paul says, are ye not carnal? And walk as men, just like the wicked people. And some Christians today are walking like men, like the individual lost people. Sad indeed. And Galatians 5 and verse 16, walk in the Spirit, ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's a guarantee to stay out of the flesh, to walk with the power of the Spirit of God. Ephesians 2 and verse 10, you know that one, let's say that one together. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God wants believers, saved people, to walk in good works. And Ephesians 4:17, walk not as the other Gentiles walk. That's what we ought not to be. Follow the heathen around us. There's all kinds of heathen that are walking wrong. In 1 John 1:6, have no fellowship. If we say we have fellowship with him, with the Lord, and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. If we walk in the light, as he is in the light, then we have fellowship with the Lord. The walk is important. And then he says, we ought to continue to walk that we may continue to please God, not ourselves, not our flesh, not our neighbors, not our family, but pleasing God. In John 8, verse 29, the Lord Jesus said, as he has sent me, the Father has sent me always those things that please him. Even at the Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ pleased the Father. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse 4, no man that warreth, and Christians are warring in this battle today, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. Why? That he may please him, but chosen him to be a soldier. Pleasing the Lord Jesus Christ should be paramount and primary. And Hebrews 11 verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please him. So the Thessalonian Christians were to be walking continuously and pleasing God, abounding in that walk and the pleasing of the Lord moment by moment. Let's read verse number 2 together. For you know what commandments we have given you by the Lord Jesus. So look, the commandments. Now, a lot of people think it's just the commandments of the Old Testament. But did you know there are orders and commands and imperatives in the New Testament? We have a listing, 23 pages of them, 1,080. You know that? 1,080 commands. Do this in the New Testament. So the commandments are many, not simply the old. Now we're not of the old law of Moses, but these are orders that God has given to us, commandments that we're given. Let's read verse number 3 together. For this is the will of God in your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. I'll take up a little more detail this fornication, but this is the will of God, sanctification, setting you apart unto the Lord. That's an important documentation that we should remember, to be set apart unto the Lord. The will of God, many verses on the will of God, in Mark 3:35, for example, whosoever shall do the will of God, same as my brother and my father. Somebody say, here's your brother and father. The one that does the will of God, he's my brother. And that's what he says, the Lord Jesus. In Acts 13:36, David, after he had served his own generation, by the will of God, fell asleep. He served it by the will of God. In Romans 1:10, Paul says that I might have prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. He wanted the will of God in this journey that he took. In Romans 12 and verse 2, that you may prove what is a good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Are you interested in the will of God? It's found in the words of God, the scriptures. That's where we find the word of God, the will of God. In Romans 15:32, Paul says that I may come unto you by the will of God with joy. Paul was interested in doing the will of God. I hope you and I are, if we're saved and born again. In 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 1, Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God. It's God's will that he was called. In Galatians 1 and verse 4, talked about the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from the present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. It's God's will that we be delivered from this wicked world. Ephesians 6 and verse 6, do service to the Lord as the servants of Christ, those believers there at Ephesus, doing the will of God from the heart. Not simply going through the motions, but from the very heart. In Colossians 4, verse 12, that you may stand perfect. We prayed, Epaphras was praying that the Ephesian Christians could stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. You won't find the will of God in a newspaper or comic book or television or radio. It's found in the Bible, the words of the living God. And complete in all the will of God must be complete all the words of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Giving thanks is also the will of God for believers and saved people. In Hebrews 10:36, after you have need of patience, this is a great verse, after you have done the will of God, and every one of us must want to do the will of God, after you have done it, you might receive the promise. The promise doesn't come immediately. Be patient. Be patient. In 1 Peter 3, verse 17, the Apostle Peter says, it's better if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil. Sometimes it is the will of God to suffer, but may it be for well-doing rather than evil. And 1 Peter 4, 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his life in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. After we're saved, we ought to live for the will of God. In 1 Peter 4, 19, let them that suffer according to the will of God, commit their keeping of their souls to him. Sometimes suffering is in accordance with the will of God. In 1 John 2, verse 17, the world passeth away the lust thereof. He that doeth the will of God abideth forever. And that's important. Now Paul says in this verse, this is the will of God, that your sanctification. Sanctification. That's the word that's hagiasmos is what it is. And it is something that is given. It means consecration, purification. It's a sanctification of heart and life. And that you abstain from fornication, he says. And word that abstaining, in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 22, for example, abstain from all appearance of evil. And 1 Peter 2:11, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. Here Paul says, abstain from fornication. That word for fornication is the word porneia. And that word for porneia has got a number of meanings. And normally we think of fornication as sexual relations before marriage. But it has a number of other meanings, that word for fornication. It's all kinds of sexual immorality and sexual sin. It's the word for, I'll just give you some of the words that it involves. It's involving the question of where to go, somewhere here. Well, it's here somewhere, we'll find it. Anyway, it has to do with not only adultery, it has to do with sexual relations prior to non-marriage, has to do with homosexuality, bestiality, incest, all these different things is encompassed with this word, fornication. In Scripture, the various verses in regard to that, in Matthew 15, out of the heart, evil thoughts, and one of the things comes out is fornication. In Acts 15, verse 20, we write unto them that they abstain from pollutions of idols and from fornication. Abstention is required by the Lord. In Romans 1:28, talks about God gave over the heathen world to a reprobate mind to do things which are inconvenient. Namely, one of the things is fornication, godly sin. And apparently this Thessalonian church was plagued with fornication, whether it's adultery, whether it's fornication on the part of unmarried people, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's bestiality, whatever it may be, incest. It's a filthy thing. And Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 5 and verse 1. It's commonly reported there's fornication among you. Such fornication not even once named among the Gentiles, that one should have his own father's wife. Incest was reported at Corinth. 1 Corinthians 5 verse 9, I wrote to you an epistle not to company with fornicators. You're not altogether with fornicators of this world, but you must need to go out of the world. If any man be called a brother and he's a fornicator, stay away from him or her. Leave. In 1 Corinthians 6:13, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. In 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 18, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. In 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 2, nevertheless to avoid fornication, that every man have his own wife, that every woman have her own husband. This is the avoidance. In 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 8, neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Old Testament God had punished 23,000, slaughtered and killed them for committing of the fornication. In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 21, and shall beware of many which have sinned already and not repented of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they have committed. In Galatians 5 and verse 19, one of the works of the flesh of the 16 or 17 listed, the works of the flesh are manifested. Fornication is one of them. In Ephesians 5 and verse 3, but fornication, all uncleanness and covetousness, let it not be once named among you as become a saint. And Colossians 3 and verse 5, mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. And one of the ones that have been mortified, put to death, is fornication. And in Jude 7, even as Sodom and Gomorrah, giving themselves over to fornication. In that case, it's sodomy. This word porneia is an all-encompassing word, giving in the strange flesh, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. We have in your bulletin the sexual statistics on assault every 90 seconds. There's assault of some kind in this country. Back in the book, Reverend, you mentioned this 10,700 men are raped in the military every single, this year particularly, and it's increasing. We also mentioned earlier that the assault in the military has gone up, 14,000 altogether, and in the last 8 years, from 1,200 to 2,900, it's increased a tremendous number, it's jumped. And we mentioned also that the Boy Scouts now have voted to ban the gays, not to vote, but to remove the ban on the gays and the Scout troops, so every one of the homosexuals can be welcome there, and there'll be all sorts of increase of sexual activity as far as that's concerned. And as I said earlier, the Scouts want not only just to have the boys, homosexual boys, but they also want the Scoutmasters to be homosexuals as well. I finally found the word porneia, the definition. Here we go. Ready? Illicit sexual intercourse, all kinds. When Paul writes this in verse 3, this is the will of God, your sanctification, setting you apart. Christians have got to realize the world around us is filled with filthiness, and we've got to be separated and abstain from this fornication. Sanctification, sexual intercourse, it includes adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, intercourse with animals, intercourse with close relatives, and so on. These are things that are included, and Paul apparently was warning the Christians at Thessalonica that they should abstain from this. They were getting into it because the Gentiles, the heathen around them, we've got all kinds of immorality in the schools. They commit this fornication sin even before they're out of elementary school. Glad I'm never getting involved with it. And certainly junior high school. I was in junior high for 18 years in Philadelphia, and I know this is the case. Let's read verse number 4 again. And every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, the sanctification, and the vessel, the body. Not to have this immorality, this sexual sin, but possessing and controlling your body, your vessels. In Acts 9:15, Paul said he's a chosen vessel. God says he's a chosen vessel unto me. Paul was. In Romans 9, verse 21, hath not the potter power over the clay? the same lump to make one vessel into honor, another to dishonor. Our bodies are called vessels, things to contain. And the vessels of wrath and the vessels of mercy. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 7, we have this treasure of salvation, those of us who are genuinely saved, in earthen vessels, vessels of clay, that the excellency of the power may be of God, not of us. In 2 Timothy 2, and verse 20, in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and earth. And we've got to purge ourselves to those that are bad vessels, those people that are walking in the world, which could separate from them. In 1 Peter 3, and verse 7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker, the honor the weaker vessel. So we've got to guard our vessels, as it says in verse 4. How to possess the vessels. Our bodies should be possessed in sanctification, in holiness, and in honor. The word sanctification is used in John 17, 17. The Lord Jesus, as he prayed to the Father in his high priestly prayer, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. In John 17, 19, for these fair sanctified, again, his high priestly prayer, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. The only thing that's going to set us apart and sanctify us or save people is through the truth, the words of God. The only thing that's going to set us apart, read it, know it, follow it, and ask God to help you to do it. That's what sanctifies us and sets us apart to the Lord. In Acts 20, verse. Now, brethren, Paul said to the church at Ephesus, I commend you to God, word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. The word of God builds us up and gives us inheritance, those that are set apart to save, sanctify. In Acts 26, in verse 18, Paul was saved in order that they might receive forgiveness of sins. He was to preach the gospel to the Gentiles, the heathen, they might receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among all those that are sanctified by faith that is in me. Sanctification, set apart, saved people should be set apart for the Lord. In Romans 15:16, the Gentiles, that we have been done to the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. We must be set apart by the Holy Spirit of God, who can set us apart and give us the power over our flesh. In 1 Corinthians 6:11, some of you, he mentions some of the wicked filthiness of the Corinthian church. He says all the sins of the flesh, he lists them. Then he says, and such were some of you. That's past tense. All this wickedness, all these sins, that's past tense. Such were some of you. But now that you're saved and born again, you're washed. You're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our God. There's a difference that should come to pass from the old life to the new life. Sins past, but now, once we come to Christ, we're sanctified and justified. We ought to live that way. In Ephesians 5, verse 26, Lord Jesus died that he might sanctify and cleanse the church, the believers, with the washing of water by the Word. The Word of God is the same, just like washing your hands with water, the washing of the Word of God. In 1 Thessalonians 5, and verse 23, the very God of peace, Paul wrote to the church of Thessalonica, sanctify you holy. That great God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless till the coming of the Lord. The whole body, spirit, soul, and body, set apart completely. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 23, if a man therefore purge himself from these, he should be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, prepared into every good work. God wants these Thessalonian Christians to be set apart and sanctified, abstaining from all these sexual sins. He wants the believers today. Let's read verse number 5 together. Not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. This word concupiscence is a word that's a word for lust. It's a word for epithumia, is what it is. Craving, longing, desire for that which is forbidden. And he says, you should not be in this. Like the Gentiles are, which know not God. The various scriptures in this word for lust in Proverbs 6:23, for the commandment is a lamp and reproof to keep thee from the evil woman, this prostitute, or so even some Christian people are trying to get men into their bedrooms. Keep thee from the evil woman, from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. And then the command by 6, lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by the means of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread. An adulteress will hunt for the precious life. And the illustration is given in Proverbs 6. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Of course not. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Of course not. So, he that goeth into his neighbor's wife, adultery, whosoever toucheth her shall not be innocent. It's a terrible disgrace. In Matthew 6, verse 27, Lord Jesus is speaking here. Says, ye've heard that it was once said of them of old time, thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you, whosoever looketh on a woman, not just look on her, but look on a woman to lust after her, hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Not simply to look, but to look to lust after her. Thy right eye offend thee, pluck it off and sign. In Romans 1:24, the heathen world, God gave them up to uncleanness, to the lusts of their own heart, to the sign of their own bodies between themselves. That's why the homosexuals are listed in Romans chapter 1. Lesbianism is listed as sin. Homosexual men listed as evil and wickedness and sin. And the evil that comes from that is terrible. In Romans 1:27, likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which is made. And our present has sanctified this lust, men for men, sodomites are fine, intermarriage with men and men, lesbians intermarriage, wickedness. Our president says, puts the stamp of approval, the seal of the presidency upon it. And all the people are doing likewise. In state after state after state, they're changing the rules. And these people that are congressional people, whether they're Congress or Senate, they used to be against homosexuality. All of a sudden, oh, I guess it's all right now. They're switching. The whole thing is switching. The homosexual lobby is increasing and increasing in this world. And they're receiving the recompense of their reward. Not many males, homosexuals, live beyond 45. Not many females live beyond too much beyond that. Because of the wickedness, because of the sin, because of the evil, the age that comes from that wicked practice. And God says they receive in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet, suitable, and fitting. In Romans 6 and verse 12, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you should obtain it in the lusts. Now, this sin nature has lust, even if we're saved and born again, we still have the old nature. Let not that sin reign or rule. In Romans 13:14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill in the lusts thereof. Don't make the provision. And then in Galatians 5:16, walk in the Spirit, you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's the way to prevent that. Those of us who are saved with the Spirit of God within us, walk in His power, the Spirit of God's power, and the lust of the flesh you won't be injured. In Ephesians 2 and verse 3, Paul says, we all had our conversation, our way of life in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind. And we're by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That was the past. And may saved, born again Christians leave the past and walk with the Lord in the present. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 22, Paul said to Pastor Timothy at Ephesus, flee youthful lusts to follow after righteousness. Now, youthful lusts doesn't mean all the lusts that youth people have. It's youthful lusts that all of us have, whatever our age may be. 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, whatever it may be. Flee the lusts of youth, youthful lusts. Follow after righteousness. In 1 Peter 2, verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you, I urge you, as strangers and pilgrims in this wicked world, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. And they do. In 1 Peter 4, verse 3, the Apostle Peter says, for the time past of our life may suffice us, that should be finished with us, to have wrought the will of the Gentiles when we walk in lasciviousness, lusts, excess of wine, revelings, banquetings, abominable idolatry. The time past should suffice for sins of the flesh. Not for saved and born again genuinely. We should walk by the Spirit of God. in the lesson of concupiscence in Colossians 3 and verse 5, where to mortify, believers are to mortify your members which are upon the earth. Put to death. As we said before, we have 10 different members. So David said, I will glorify the Lord on the 10 strings. And he's talking about a harp or something, but we have a 10-string instrument. We have 2 eyes, 2 ears. We have 2 hands, 2 feet. We have 1 set of eyes. We have 1 heart. We have 10 strings. We're to mortify, put to death in our members the things that are wrong, including evil concupiscence. And so Paul says to the believers there, not only to be possessing his vessel, but his sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence as the Gentiles which know not God. Let's read verse number, what number is it there? Number 6. Let me just get number 6. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all sinners, as we also have forewarned and testified. Not to go beyond, not to hyperbinos, was to transgress, to overreach, and to get perhaps into this sin, overreach in the sin, maybe, of some type of sexual sin. And brothers, Christian people, believers that are saved, should not do this, not go beyond in any way to sin with other believers and bring them down. Let's read verse number 7 together. For God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. God has called us not to uncleanness. Once we're saved, and he's talking to this Thessalonian Christian, I'm talking to our church here, and those listening, by the means, not uncleanness, but holiness. In Romans 1:24, God gave them up to uncleanness, so it's that heathen world, the old world. And in Romans 6:19, we're not to yield ourselves members, our members, to uncleanness, to iniquity, but yield ourselves and our members to righteousness to the Lord. In Galatians 5:19, the works of the flesh are unclean. One of the things, the 16 and 17 are listed, uncleanness. We have the flesh, if we still have the flesh that's with us, but we have the flesh. And the works of the flesh are manifest, and they're listed there, uncleanness. 4, verse 19, talking about feeling, have given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. The unsaved world, that's all they know. They have no standards, they don't care about the Bible. They're unclean and work uncleanness. In Ephesians 5 and verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, not to be once named among you as becometh saints. In Ephesus, they shouldn't even name it among them. Apparently it was being named among them. He wouldn't have written it. In Colossians 3 and verse 5, mortify your bodies, and one of the things, uncleanness, to mortify, put to death any uncleanness. We walk to holiness. A number of verses on holiness in Exodus 15:11. Who is like thee, O Lord, glorious in holiness? Our God is the most holy of any individual, any being in the world. Complete, total holiness. Glorious in holiness. In Psalm 96 and verse 9, O worship the Lord in the beauty of Akathasia, in a moral sense, absolute holy. And that word holiness is a sanctification of heart and of life. In Romans 5:6-19, you give your members as unto righteousness, unto holiness. Our members, our 10-string instruments, our 2 eyes and 2 ears and 2 hands and 2 mouth, to unto holiness unto the Lord. In 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1, having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. We should perfect that which is pleasing to the Lord if we're saved and born again. In 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 13, to the end that he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. God wants saved people to be holy people, sanctified to him. In Titus 2, and verse 3, it talks about the old woman, the aged women. Likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, as going right along with holy and holy life. Not only holy women, but old men and young women all together. Let's read verse number 8 together. I'm reading. He therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given unto us his Holy Spirit. Now God has given to save people his Holy Spirit. He that despiseth, that word for despise, atatau, he that disregards the word of God, disregards a man, but God. we shall not and should not disregard the very commands that tell us we're to abstain from wickedness and fornication and concupiscence and all kinds of lust. Let's read verse number 9 together. But as touching brotherly love, heed not that I write unto you, for ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. I mentioned this last week. We preached on that message last Lord's Day on loving the believers, Christian love. But reminding us of a few verses in John 13:34, the new commandment I give unto you, the Lord Jesus said to his disciples, that you love one another. What's the measure of our love? As I have loved you. Now, no Christian can love another Christian as Christ loved us. That's the measure. That's the goal. That's, as they say, if you aim at nothing, hit it every time. If you aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. The goal here, the Lord Jesus said, you love one another Christian. Now, you may differ with them. We said last week, therefore, some of the doctrines of the doctrine, but you love them, even though they might love you back, but you love the brethren. The measure of our love is as Christ loved us, and he loved us when we were sinners. And a lot of believers are sinners in their own way, different types of sin. We're to love them anyhow, if they're saved and born again. You love them as I have loved you. Then he says, by this, so all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Some Christians seem to glorify fighting with one another, hating one another. So I say, doctrinal differences, that's a different matter, but we're still to love the brethren, even though we may differ in what they believe and what they teach, whether it's what the King James Bible, text, receptus, Greek, whatever, but we love the brethren. Ephesians 1:15, you heard of our faith of the Lord Jesus and the love unto all the saints. Now, these Christians at Ephesus didn't just have love for one or two favorite saints. Now, some people, some Christians do have just a few favorite saints. They love those favorite saints. The rest of them, garbage. Not literally, but they almost treat them as garbage. They don't even talk to them. Don't even speak to them. These Christians at Ephesus, Paul commended them for their love to all the saints, all the saved people that were there in the church. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 22, Apostle Peter said, seeing ye have purified your souls, obeying the truth through the Spirit, of the unfeigned love of the brethren, unfeigned, unhypocritical, no fake love. That's a big smile. You know, some people give a big smile. In their heart, there's a frown. But in their face, there's a smile. But it's the heart that should be smiling and the face. They should be love one another with unfeigned, not hypocritical, not false love unto the brethren. I've said many times as we go through different differences we have with Baptist University and some other things, you know, as far as they despise the text receptors, they push aside the King James Bible, they use the English Standard Version, all these other things. They got a lot of problems. But I always say, wherever I go, we love the brethren. Bob Jones Jr., the father, Bob Jones III, all been born again. We love them. But we don't have to agree with their doctrine that they teach, if it's false doctrine. The brethren we can love, the false teachers we must despise. A very clear distinction. It's hard for some of us to make. As I said before, and we wish that love were reciprocal. Reciprocal. I wish that Bob Jones Jr., the Bible for the Day Ministry, and the Dean Burgon Society, others of us who stand for the text of acceptance in the King James Bible, wish they could look upon us and say, we're brethren, we love you in the Lord, we don't agree with you, we think you're crackpot standing for the King James Bible, we think you're nuts and crazy standing for the text of acceptance and the rationalized text, but we still love you. It's wonderful to hear that from them. I'd love to hear that. Have a mutual love. See, not just a one way, and so that's the way we want people, a lot of Christians. It's a one way street. You may love them, but they can't stand you. We said, I illustrated in the Chinese class, the Book of Romans, last week. Was it last week? I can't keep the week. I think it was last week. A week before. A week before. I illustrated to the people, I said, that we were going to a big church here in New Jersey. I may have named the church, but I probably didn't. And that big church had about three different factions. They'd sit together, one, two, three, all bundled together. They didn't speak one to another faction, but they speak one to another. They weren't too much loving Christians. But there was one man, especially, that was upset with me because I had mentioned against John MacArthur and the heresy he has in the blood of Christ. He believes the blood of Christ doesn't mean blood, it just means death, and so on and so forth. So I wrote about that. I had a book, we've written books on that. Well, this man was in, he's a member of that church, where we were members at the time, and he loves John MacArthur, and the blood of Christ is no problem, everything is perfect. And I went to him one time after the service, you know, we were just in the aisle and so on, and shook hands with him, so my hand was out there, left alone. Absolutely, that's real love. Anyway, be that as it may, we've got to love one another as God has loved us, and loving your brother with unfeigned, unhypocritical love. If you love one another with a pure heart, fervently, not a false heart, but a pure heart, that we should love one another, the things of the Lord. Well, this is a passage, apparently, in verse 3, he saw in the church of Thessalonica that he found it. He was concerned for it, that they did not have sanctification in their midst. They were fornicating, whatever brand of fornication, whether it's homosexuality, whether it's lesbianism, whatever it may be, whether it's adultery, whether it's bestiality, whether it's incest. And he said, this is the will of God. You save people, born again people. It's the will of God for us as well. Your sanctification, setting yourself apart from sin unto the Lord, that you abstain from fornication, any brand of it. And he lays it out. And we who are living in a wicked, wicked world, where fornication of all kinds is happening, all these societies, it's happening in the military, of homosexuality, it's happening in the mixed marriages, homosexuals with homosexuals, lesbians with lesbians, all over the place. It's happening in the Boy Scouts. In 2000, the year 2000, the Supreme Court of our country ruled this. He said, it is within the rights of the Boy Scouts of America to make standards that they want to abstain with homosexuals, not have men, if they have every right to do so. 2000, a rule from the Supreme Court. Now all of a sudden, 61% of the leaders voted almost in with us. 61% of the leaders, the Boy Scouts of America. We're living in a horrible land, and it's around us completely. We're living in a city called Collingswood, which now, according to the mayor, is gay-friendly. Well, what are they going to do? That's been gay-friendly since we've been here for 47 years. But it's getting worse and worse. And Paul's writing to Thessalonian Christians, and he mentions this, and I believe that's why I titled this message, Abstain from Fornication and Be Sanctified Unto the Lord, because that's what Paul wanted for them. He wants it for every born-again Christian. And it's difficult. It's a sin of the flesh. God wants it to overcome only by means of the power of the Holy Spirit of God who indwells the saved born-again Christian. Now the reading of the walk in the will of God compart unto the Lord and from sin. Let's close with the word of prayer. We thank thee, our Heavenly Father, for thy grace. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for the power of the Holy Spirit of God that indwells those of us who are genuine Christians. Help us by thy power to abstain from wickedness, from lust, from filth, from all types of fornication, whatever the variety, that we may walk to please thee in holiness, sanctification, that thou mayest guide us and direct us in this life. There be those in our midst that are still unsaved. May they come to Christ to be saved, those listening by other means. May they come to our Savior, the Lord Jesus, who died for our sins and offered